Me, as always, is my sidekick, Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good, very good. A little colder up here than it was in Florida last week.
Yeah, you got. I know you're fighting off a little bit of a cold there, but I wanna. And you don't know I'm gonna do this, but I wanna do a little FCAC basketball team association test with you, and it's gonna be. You'll see after. We're gonna make a point that you and I have talked about a lot this week. I'm gonna give you two teams, and you tell me which one's better right now. Okay.
That's going to be hard to do.
Well, and that's sort of where, okay, Fairfield Ward or Ridgefield, if they play on a neutral court, who wins?
Well, right now I'd have to say Ward because of the way they played in the last several games.
Okay, neutral court, Stanford or Fairfield Ludlow?
I would say Stanford because of the size. The big guy from Stanford has surprised me.
Okay, Trumbull and St. Joseph.
Now, that's a tough one. You know, it'd be kind of like Sean Wilson against T.J. Wright. I would have to go with the defense that Trumbull plays.
Okay, three games on the same night. Which one of these would interest you most? Is there one that would interest you more than the other two? Fairfield Ludlow playing at New Canaan. Ridgefield playing at St. Joseph or Stanford playing at Darien?
I think the Ludlow game would be the one that would interest me playing against New Canaan.
Okay, the reason I did, the number one, those three games are my choices for Friday night where I may go to. And the other three, you got to admit, were kind of tough calls. And the reason I did that, we're only one game into league play, and we're a quarter of the way through the season. I think right now, you know, Staples is by far a clear-cut favorite, and they seem to be, at least in the court of public opinion, separating themselves. But after that, when you get to teams 2 through 12, you could debate them all, and I think on any given night, you know, 10, 11, 12 could be 2, 3, 4.
No doubt about it, Dave. I really think that it's going to come down to the last day of the season to see who has one of the eight playoff spots.
I agree. I don't. I mean, right now, could you see any team beating Staples?
Well, I thought New Canaan really gave a good game plan as to how to play Staples, and Staples knew it was coming. They played physical. And they made it tough to score. I think if New Canaan gets a little bit more offensively minded, and again, they have four or five football players, that's going to take a couple weeks to get really into their offensive game. But they really, I mean, you held Staples to 47 points. That's a pretty good job on their home court.
Yeah, not too many people are going to have the personnel to play that kind of defense that New Canaan did. That might have been, and I was there, possible, we'll be saying those are the two best defensive teams in the league. Not many teams have the kind of players, and I don't want to just say just because they're football players, though their size certainly helps, but I don't know a lot of teams that could play as physically tough as New Canaan did, and they took Staples out of their game for the first half, and really Staples didn't pull away until there was about a minute and a half to go in the third quarter, and until there was 90 seconds to go in the game, they went on an 18-3 run, and that really is what decided that game. But I don't know that there are a lot of teams that are going to be able to defend like New Canaan does, and in a league this year that appears right now to be somewhat offensively challenged, good coaching and good defense is going to make a big difference.
Well, I think the only several teams come to my mind as far as good defensive teams, maybe not with the physicality of a New Canaan team, but Ludlow, I think, plays excellent defense. Ward, when they play together, plays great defense. And, you know, don't discount Ridgefield. Andrew has a way of getting his defense together. And they're going to be solid at the end.
Yeah, I could see a team or two beating Staples during the regular season. I find it harder right now to see what teams at this point is going to be able to win three games in the tournament.
No, I agree with that. Somebody's going to have to win three games, and the Staples is probably the only team that combines offense and defense and gives them a chance to win it. But strange things happen. I mean, we felt the same way last year with Richfield, and they were upset by Staples. So you never know what happens in the FCAC. That's what makes it an exciting league. It's a competitive league, and I'm looking forward to it.
And the other thing, and we don't talk a lot about, we don't talk enough about this with Staples, and we'll talk more with David Goldschau when he joins us a little later. But their defense, I mean, they're as much as we see Sam Klacko knowing he could go off for 30 plus on it any night, and Adam Udell at point guard, and they have players. We saw Dylan Lohman hit 7 threes on opening night. As much as they can be explosive offensively, they're a defend team first, and they really I can't tell if New Canaan is going to really struggle offensively or if it was just that Staples played such great defense on them.
Well, Staples has played good defense for the first five games. Of course, outside of the New Canaan FCAC game, the other teams that they played were not exactly the strongest teams that they're going to see in the FCAC. If they have one problem, it could be size inside. I know they have, one person in there, but they're going to have to rebound. Stanford, I really haven't seen enough of them, but they have some answers. They have obviously the big guy inside who he's averaging a double-double and also about four or five blocks a game. So, I mean, that's an equalizer sometimes. So they could give Staples a little bit of trouble. But the way Staples executes on offense, I don't see that happening, especially not for three games.
Yeah, like I said, I could see them getting picked off at some point during the regular season. Fairfield Ward gets hot. Ridgefield. There's going to be somebody that emerges. I mean, right now the second, third, fourth seeds right now could have more losses than a second, third, or fourth seed has had in some time. But who's going to fill that role as the second seed right now? Right now, if I had a vote, and I have to go home and vote in the state poll after the show. But if I were to, I actually will do my top eight for the league in my basketball notebook tomorrow. I probably would go with Fairfield Ward right now.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. See, Fairfield Ward has two guards that can shoot the three, handle the press, and they have Kramer inside, who I think is underrated. Those three pieces are going to help them if they all play together, and it seems like they're doing that this year. They were a little lackadaisical in the first half against St. Joe's, and it was a four-point game at halftime. Then I guess Coach got into them and, don't pick up the defense, and they pressed a little bit, and they ended up winning, I think it was 80-62 or something. But, they're the one team, that can get better and better and give Staples trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to go see them on Tuesday night. They play at Trumbull, and I know some people watch them on Friday night, and as much as we've kind of brushed off Trumbull with the loss of Johnston, people said Trumbull is still a decent team and could still be a top eight team.
No, I agree with you. Trumbull really plays another team that plays good defense. They held Danbury to 37 points at Danbury. Again, it's not the Danbury team of old, but at the same time, going up there and holding 37 points, I thought was a great job by Trumbull. So defensively, they can play. They have to find another scorer besides Sean Wilson. I think they have a couple other kids that can put the ball in the basket, but they're going to have to show it. And if they do, they'll be one of the eight. And who knows, maybe they could upset somebody.
Yeah, Trumbull, 53-47 win. Wilson had 21 points, and he's definitely, when we're looking at the, we're looking far ahead to all FCAC team, I think he, TJ Wright, and Sam Klacko right now are givens. But why don't we take a break, and when we come back, Mike and I will continue to bounce around the league. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and Mike and I are going to continue to bounce around the league. Mike, just before we finish talking about Staples, just a note of, I don't know what you would call this, and I hope I don't embarrass him, because if there's an all Rudin Report team for my favorite athletes this year, he's definitely on it. But, Jack Plesser was sort of a Rudin Report favorite of ours, just for a variety of reasons. But when after games, I tape interviews, video interviews with certain athletes, and then I post them on social media. I know you're just Twitter, so you don't see them, but I interviewed Adam Udell after the game. I had Adam Udell. I posted a video with him after he almost single-handedly at the very end led Staples to the FCAC Lacrosse Championship, and I got over 300,000 views on TikTok. I posted another one on Friday night, and right now it's at about 375,000 views, and a lot of them seem to be females. I think we're, right now, I think Adam Udell is definitely, besides being one of the best point guards, maybe the heartthrob of the league.
No question about it. Lucky man, I guess.
I don't. TikTok sort of amuses me. I don't know that I would have an account if I wasn't for the Rudin Report. But Adam, if you're listening, I don't mean to embarrass you there, but you won't have a hard time getting a prom date this year. Let's say that. Let's bounce around. One of the teams whose stock is definitely rising right now, and you talked a little about them in the first segment, is Stanford. And this just goes to show how blind we are at the beginning of the year. When I do my preseason top eight, I go a lot by what coaches send in to me. And I had one or two coaches that told me there's no chance Stanford's going to get into the FCAC tournament. And I had one or two coaches that told me they're a sleeper. And I didn't know what to make of them. But they're off to an interesting start. They came away they lost by 5 points to Ridgefield on Monday. And you said it, and another coach, I actually sat down in a movie theater in New York City just before the movie started. I'm getting texts from someone giving me play-by-play of the last 30 seconds that Stanford had a chance to beat Ridgefield. And you said the same thing. Ridgefield made a couple of extra plays down the stretch, but Stanford almost won that game.
I think Stanford could have won that game with a little bit more experience. And the problem with Stanford is that they have to become more consistent. They were down by 6 at halftime to a very scrappy McMahon team. But they got together in the second half. Actually, Ryan Connors went off in the second half and ended up with 36 points. And they won the game quite handily. But they have size inside, not only with the big guy, Jordan Steele, I think is his name, but also Jordan Sutton. And they also have a kid named Atkinson, who's a pretty good point guard and distributes, and a kid named Jenta, who's a pretty good outside shooter, and a kid named Damon Taylor, who hits the board. So they have 4 or 5 maybe kids who can really play, and if they get together and are consistent, I think they have the possibility of upset, not only upsetting people, but being one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean the intel about them no chance of making the tournament was certainly way off. They could be battling for a third, fourth, fifth spot potentially. Connors, like you said, a big game. And Jordan Sutton, who's the 6'10", a little bit of a project right now as a sophomore, and that's not unusual. He's a sophomore. But I guess the one area, and I haven't seen him yet, where he's really already made an impact just by his size is on the defensive end of the court. There are a few teams that have big men, and certainly not no teams but a 6'10" player.
Right, and he could rebound. So sometimes you come down and you miss your shot, and he grabs the rebound, and Stanford is off to the races. But as I say, they just have to get a little bit more consistent and to make good decisions. Some of their decisions were not good against McMahon, but I'm sure with a little bit of practice and game experience, they're going to be right there.
You know, we were saying who's going to beat Staples, and you and I talked about this on my ride in today. Can you imagine this team if E.J. Presley hadn't gotten injured during football season and was able to play?
Well, I agree with you there. I think Stanford with E.J. Presley would have a really good chance to beat Staples. I'm not saying they would beat him, but they'd have a good chance because he was the glue to that team last year. And, you know, without him, as I say, they're struggling to find the consistency. But, you know, I hope he recovers well and makes good decisions. He's a tremendous athlete and an even better kid from what I understand.
I actually was at the game where he tore his ACL at the beginning of football season. And you're right. He's just besides being a great basketball player, he's just a great kid. So I know he's going to prep and we'll see if he goes football or basketball. You know, Fairfield Ward right now would be my second pick right at this moment. They went to St. Joe's and came away with, or home against St. Joe's with an 80-62 win. And Aiden Shea, who's really another player off to a real, real good start, had a big second half and finished with 24 points. And they have a big in the middle with Jack Kramer. And they also have another good guard with Ryan Moore. Right now, they're one of the teams that has several offensive options. Not a lot of teams have 2-3 players that you could go to in a half-court set and run plays for them. So it makes them a little bit tougher to defend.
No, I agree with you. I think that they're right now, you'd have to put them as the number two. And another team we haven't talked about is Wilton. Ryan Lucetta, you're talking about top five players. He's a really good player. He's averaging 20-plus a game, and he seems to carry Wilton. And if he gets some help with some other people around him, you know, Wilton, they always play tough, especially on their home court. They'd have a chance. I think they can be one of the eight. And then if they can win the quarterfinal game, they go home for the FCAC semis.
Yeah, Lucetta scored 24 against Norwalk on Friday. I need to see a little bit more body of work on Wilton. Right now they look like a team somewhere around the four to five seed, and they're kind of a domino. They could fall up a little bit higher. They could fall down a little bit lower. I don't know. I don't know about any of these teams really, 2 through 12. But I don't know yet what to make of Wilton. I'm looking forward to seeing them sometime soon.
No, I really think you hit the nail on the head. We're talking about Wilton and these teams, St. Joe's, Ludlow. Any of them could finish in the eight. I think all the way up to 10, 11, 12. I mean, New Canaan definitely has a chance if they can get their offense together to make the playoffs. So, you know, and West Hill, I'm not so sure they played with their point guard when they got beat by Darien. And I guess you have to give Darien a little credit, too, because Sapione had 22, and, you know, they're off to a pretty good start. So you can't discount them either, I guess.
Nah, it's kind of why we played word association at the start. It's just wide open. And look, we're almost halfway through the show, and we've hardly even spoken about Ridgefield, which we always consider Ridgefield a given, and I haven't seen them, and obviously we always have an information freeze there, But you've watched them a little bit. I know you saw them a little bit against Central as well. What's your impressions on them so far? Not the Ridgefield team that we're accustomed to. Again, playing without Alex Hickey, and we have no idea what his status is for the future. You know, what Sapowski's a top player inside. What have you been your impressions on Ridgefield so far?
Well, I saw them play Central for the most part. That was a back and forth game. Central plays physical. You know, another team, don't take them lightly on a given night. But I think Ridgefield, if you look at their scores, they won a lot of close games, beating Stanford, even beating Central. And I think that, again, that's a team that's developing. Now, how much Hickey means to the team, I'm not sure. I'd like to get box scores out of Ridgefield. I don't know, do they send them to you?
No comment.
Oh, okay. Because that really helps. We'd like to get the kids' names and mention them here on the air. And Andrew does such a fantastic job with his defense and his kids. And he'll develop them. Just like to know who some of them are.
Yeah, I'm not sure when I'm going to get to see Ridgefield. That they're a possibility for Friday night, though. Like you, I'm leaning towards Ludlow, New Canaan, because I haven't seen Ludlow yet. So why don't we take our second break here and let's get somebody new into the conversation. Staples coach David Goldshaw, he'll be joining us after we take a break here. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Sub Connecticut.
Okay, we're back here, and Mike and I are going to take a little bit of a break bouncing around the league. We have a good guest with us. I don't remember Staples, especially with male sports right now, having the same kind of concurrent success as it has going on right now. You look at the baseball program, football program, boys lacrosse, tennis, and I'm probably missing somebody, but winning championships or competing for them. And joining them on the top pedestal right now is basketball. 2 years ago, they made it to the state final. Last year, they made it to the FCAC final. I know we're putting a lot of pressure on them in terms of bringing home something for the trophy case this year. And the architect of the program is joining us right now, and that's Coach David Goldshaw. David, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. You getting tired of that bullseye that you're not putting on your back, but we keep making bigger and bigger?
No. I mean, I think it kind of comes with some of the success that we've had. You know, it's been a position that I'm not necessarily comfortable with because, you know, it's been a process of building over the last 2 years. But, you know, I'm trying to break the season down into four or five smaller tournaments and just having the kids focus on learning how to win 4 or 5 smaller game tournaments to get them prepared, hopefully, if we advance in both FCAC and the States.
I was at the game Friday night and against New Canaan, the 47-37 win, and you had the best description of it. You called it a rock fight. I don't know if we're going to see two better defensive teams on the court at the same time. We don't talk about your defense enough, and New Canaan and its real first showing because they started late due to having so many football players. But they played you pretty physical, and it took you guys a little bit of time to adjust to that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them play Bethel, I think the previous Tuesday or Monday, and I lost sleep the rest of the week. I mean, they are big, they are long, they are physical, they are well coached, and they just came off of the state championship with a lot of kids had a win. They are going to be a tough out 13 moving forward. So yeah, I was expecting a rock fight Friday night, which is telling you that.
When you have so many good offensive players as you do, is it hard to get kids to buy into playing defense, which is maybe the least fun aspect of the game, but as we're seeing, so important?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, we know that we're our best when we're getting out there and we're running in transition. And the best way to get into transition is to get stops. So actually, like, I think the kids are starting to retreating our defense like it's the first, the beginning of the set of an offensive set, right? So if we can get out and stop and get them off balance, our opponent off balance, it's an opportunity to run and have fun. So like, I always tell them, like, if this is on you guys, look over to me and the pressure's on me, and they prefer to have the position on them than me. So they're buying in.
Talk also a little bit about your depth. You know, Sam Klacko is sort of a given, and he's had a great year and a half for you. Yeah, Adam Udell is just as steady as a metronome in terms of doing a little bit of everything, and Mason Tobias is kind of an unsung hero on the team. But you know, I think one of your greatest attributes is, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7. You've got some guys that on any given night are capable of scoring 15 to 20 points, and that just takes the pressure off of some of the other guys.
Yeah, we've kind of like established that philosophy when I over, which is we want to stay young. We want to develop as early as we possibly can. I think that was very beneficial for guys like Sam and Adam and Mason and Bowman, who were really on the roster for that first day run. So we continue to develop young, and then from there, you know, hopefully it creates some depth, and it, you know, we kind of look at it as there's no grades, all one program, and we're trying to, you know, develop kids the appropriate way so the experience necessary in order to move forward, which is always a challenge. But I'm happy with our depth. We've gotten great stuff from, you know, Matty Corrigan and from Dylan Lohman and Austin Heyer and Kyle Dulac and Jack Jacobs. I mean, we have a lot of kids and Kukier that are really, you know, at a point where they're developing and hopefully going to contribute, if not this year, in the future. Jared Sales, another one. It's been great to see.
Hey, David, our connection is a little bit off. If I take a break here, can you call back in and we'll continue with you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and continue with David Goldshaw in a moment. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC. Staples coach David Goldshaw. David, let's just check. We have a better connection now?
I think so.
Yeah, you sound.
I still have an echo on my end.
Okay, let's. You know, when you're everybody's expecting you to win, you're in a tough situation. We talked a little bit about it before the game. If you don't win, you're expected to, and if you do win, you're expected to. Mike, I think you've been in that position maybe 6, 7, 8 times with your Trinity Catholic teams.
Yeah, Dave. I really have to say that I can't hear Coach Goldshaw's answers. I'm sorry, Coach. I don't know if it's a technical thing or what.
You can't hear me, Coach?
But, yeah, it's something that I like to be in that position where everybody's gunning for you, because that means you're good and it means the kids are playing hard, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, I feel like the kids are playing hard, and you know, there are a lot of expectations, but hopefully we learn every day to get better, and we just take it from there.
Mike, what? How
can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, Mike, can you hear Dave?
No, I can't hear him. No, so you can conduct the interview.
Okay, Mike, how did you handle when you had teams like that? How did you handle when you were expected to win? Did you do anything special to kind of either protect your kids or how did you deal with your kids when they were expected to win? And they, you know,
I think the thing as a coach, you want to challenge them, you know, to be better, no matter who the opponent is. Whether you set a goal is you want to hold them under 40 points, or you set a goal where you want to score 50, and you challenge them to play good defense and to run and execute an offense. And I'm sure that Coach Goldshaw is doing something like that, because they know that they're good, but at the same time they know they have to work hard to be successful, and nobody's going to give them anything, especially in the FCS.
David, let's talk a little bit. He's so good that sometimes we don't talk about him enough, but when you have a Sam Klacko on your team, a player of the year candidate, that's just, you talked about having a hard time sleeping before New Canaan. I'm sure he gives you a lot of restful nights. You know he can do anything from just what he did the other night against New Canaan, where he struggled a little bit in the first half, but still finished with 20 points, and just as important, and it doesn't, his six assists, I don't know that his playmaking gets enough attention. And, you know, we saw what he did in the FCAC playoffs last year when he goes off for 40. So when you have somebody like Sam, how big a benefit is that?
It's incredible. You know, he's a very hard worker. He's passionate about the game. He is a student of it. And he just wants to make this team and this program as great as it possibly can be. And he's, one thing that I've seen from Sam over the last couple of years, especially in the last 6 months, is his leadership, which has just grown. And he's holding not only himself, he's holding the coaches, and he's holding his teammates accountable. So it's you know, I'm lucky to be able to coach a kid like Sam, and he's just got a great, bright future in the game.
Another of his attributes is he's not cocky. Yeah, you wouldn't know away from the court talking to him that he's the offensive star on the team, just the way he conducts himself.
No, he likes to play that role. He just kind of does his stuff by his actions, and you know, he's always been just a great kid and someone who just is an incredible advocate for our program.
And then another kid, he's one of the best athletes. He certainly made himself known to everybody in the FCAC lacrosse final last year when he helped rally Staples to the title against Darien, scoring the winning goal in overtime after scoring the last two or three to get the team to overtime. But you look at Friday night against New Canaan, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a little bit of everything from him.
Yeah, well, actually, I think he made himself known to the world on that steal that he had against Ward years ago.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
That's okay. No, he really made himself known to the world after his crazy FCAC lacrosse final. I've had the opportunity. I was his JV coach his freshman year, so I will actually be his head coach for 4 years. And he's just an absolute pleasure to coach. You know, watch him grow and mature and just it's an honor for him to be going to my alma mater next year, and I know that he's going to do great things there, but I know he's got some unfinished business on the hardwood and on the field in the next 6 months.
You're a Michigan guy?
I am a Michigan guy, yes.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
You were a longtime assistant to Colin Devine, and when Colin decided to step down, and he's now an assistant over at Trumbull, his alma mater. I know it wasn't a hard choice to elevate you for the Staples Sports Administration. How much fun has it been for you to be a head coach?
It's been great. You know, I can't thank Colin enough for everything that he does and that continues to do. He's my mentor. He's been a great support in this transition. You know, I basically am the head coach as a function of just learning from him and the staff over the 5 years that I was there, as his assistant. But, I've enjoyed, I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I enjoyed the head coaching role, and, it's been fun to watch us develop as a program over the last 3 years.
As you get ready, on your hunt, which you hope will end with some postseason titles, how big is it for this team to have gotten the chance to play in two championship games, and especially the FCAC final last year? And even though it was disappointing, you went to overtime with Trumbull last year, and it was a tough loss for you. But how much is that experience from playing in the big games you think will help you this year?
I think it helps, but I think it's really hard to get there. You know, I got to give a lot of credit to coaches like Coach Walsh and Coach McClellan who just have gotten to that point and have won time and time and time again. You know, it's when you're getting everyone's best shot and every night, it's hard. and you have to do a better job coaching. You got to do a better job getting the kids prepared, and target's always on your back. So, listen, I think the experience will help make the last two FCAC finals and state finals great. But I'd be lying if I was tired of the runner-up trophy in Staples trophy case.
All right. Well, David, like you said, Colin set a really nice foundation, and these two-plus years, you've done a really good job building on it, and a fun team to watch, fun watching you coach, and I want to thank you for taking the time here and wish you and the guys best success the rest of the year.
I appreciate Dave for having me. And, Coach, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I actually met you about 20 years ago. I remember Coach Kay and Steve Wojciechowski was in your gym to see Dave McClure play, and it was my first experience with FCAC basketball. So it was an honor to be on your show as well, and I thank you for all the work that you're doing as well.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks a lot again, and I know I'll be seeing you real soon. I expect I'll be seeing you a lot this winter.
Thanks, Dave. I'll talk to you.
All right. That was David Goldschar. Mike, I unfortunately you couldn't hear him, but I told you this yesterday. But before David, last point he made besides thanking your efforts as a coach and doing the show is the story when the first time he met you was when Mike Krzyzewski and Steve Wojciechowski came to scout Dave McClure.
Well, I remember that. It was at West Hill High School for the FCAC championship game. The place was packed, and fortunately we came out with a victory. But I got to commend Coach Goldschar for the great job he's doing at Staples. I wish I could have heard his answers, but I'll listen to the podcast so that I can hear some of his answers. But he's done a great job there. And I got to admire the fact that he and his team decided to step up to Division I in the state tournament. That shows you they want a challenge, and, you know, I wish him well.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, and I didn't think to ask him about that, but a lot of – and we've seen, you know, some of the other teams. You know, Ridgefield always wants to schedule the best and some other teams, but – if Staples stayed at Division II, a good chance to win the championship. Obviously, it's going to be much tougher in Division I, but credit to Staples and credit to David. The attitude is, you know what, we want if we're going to be the best, we want to beat the best and not necessarily some teams that, well, I won't get into the state tournament setup now, but some teams. Well, we'll save that. We haven't bashed it yet this season. Pretty good, two shows. But you know, to go against some teams that probably would be in Division I in a normal tournament format, and some that wouldn't. I have, as do you, a lot of respect for that.
No, and as I say, I'll be looking forward to listening to the podcast to see what David had to say. You know, but he's done a terrific job there. And, you know, Colin laid the foundation, but he's the guy that built the house.
Okay, let's talk a little bit, a couple of just bullet points for the rest of the show. I know another team, and I haven't seen them yet, and I probably will for the first time, but you've seen them a lot, and I know you're real, real high on them, and that's Fairfield Ludlow.
Yes, I think they're well coached. They play good defense. They can rebound. And they have a couple guys that can score. If they come up with one more score, they're going to be a threat.
They beat Greenwich yesterday, a game moved to Saturday. And actually, the good thing about that was John Daly, the coach, was scouting the Staples-New Canaan game, and I sat with him for the game. So it was kind of good just, A, catching up with him, and be kind of interesting getting to talk to a little bit of basketball in a technical sense with a coach that is scouting two teams. He plays New Canaan on Friday night, but against Greenwich, they had four guys with eight or more points. Ryan Torello, who's been their leading scorer all year, had 14. But you know that bodes well too. The way a lot of these teams are set up is, you don't necessarily need the 20-point score, but if you can get you know, four or five guys that each put up 8-10 points, you know, you're going to build your offense that way.
Well, I agree. But at the same time, it helps to have a T.J. Wilson and also helps to have a Sam Klitschko. I'd rather have the 20-point score and figure out the rest. But to be honest with you, I think that good teams have two or three scorers. And then, you know, our best teams at Trinity, we're very fortunate that one time we had five guys in double figures. But, again, those five guys, I think, were Division One players. But, you know, we're fortunate that way. Especially the night that now that you're telling me that I met Dave Goslaw for the FCAC championship, we had five Division One players on the floor. And I think we played Stanford. And I think when the Stanford players, all the pressure was on Stanford, not us. Because when they saw Wojo and Coach K walk into the gym, I think their two best players, I think his name was A.J. Stevens, decided that they wanted to show them their ACC players. And they might have taken a few bad shots, and it helped us a little bit. But we had the players, and, you know, that's important. You can talk about Staples and the great defense and the great coaching job, but you need players, and Staples has both.
I remember that night at West Hill, and, you know, when Coach K came in and just kind of the buzz and for a second there, people forgot what was going on the court. Since we're talking about them a little bit, I think that Ludlow-Nikanen game Friday is just really, really intriguing. And they're two of the teams right now that we don't know where they're going to finish. They could finish in a lot of places, though. I'd be surprised if neither of them, if either of them were not in contention for a playoff spot. And you've talked about Ludlow's defense, and this will be another test for New Canaan's offense and how it does.
No, I think the Ludlow had the advantage, by the way, of playing on Saturday at New Canaan, so they kind of got used to the court. But New Canaan always plays better on their home court. That's a tough place to play. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. I think it could go back and forth both ways. And if New Canaan puts the ball in the basket, they can win. If not, Ludlow's going to come out on top.
Yeah, like I said, you know, Ridgefield, St. Joe's, you know, what's going to happen there, you know, with T.J. Wright? Is he going to go off against a really good defense? Stanford and Darien, kind of tough. I don't know what Darien's strength of schedule, real quickly, because we're about to finish up here. I don't know what to make of Darien yet.
Well, I have to pick Stanford in that game, as I said before.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say what to make of Darien. Well, another good show, and I apologize for the technical difficulties we have today. But, again, I want to thank Staples coach David Goldshaw. Mike, thanks a lot. Take care of that cold for next week, okay?
I got it.
All right. That was the Rudin Report Live on WICC. Have a good week, everybody, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.